Hello and welcome to Awakenings. Welcome everyone to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. That was a bit of Sands of Time by Thunderbeat. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and you have correctly tuned in or surfed into Awakenings. Awakenings Radio hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, awakened leaders, authors, and conscious beings of all walks of life. Awakenings is the place for those that are connecting in, that are living their life awake, and doing something with that awakened state. Awakenings is also timely relaying of essential information, insights, inspiration, and tools for transformation and spiritual unfoldment. New forms are needed. The call is out there. Are you hearing the call and are you answering the call? That's what I want to know. That's the question for the day. Are you answering the call? You know, first we got to hear it. Are you hearing the call? There's always a call put out to your life. And then are you actually listening to it and then answering that call? Those of you that would like to call in, literally or figuratively, you can call in for questions, comments, to ask the guest when she's on air any questions at 347-539-5122. And you can also just call in to listen in by phone. And, of course, you can listen by computer or chat. We're airing out live out of a few podcast stations. One of them I want to give a little hello to Cosmic Dimensions, Richard Footage over there. And it was one of the first places where Awakenings was birthed through, I guess is a good way to put it. As well as you can follow me on Twitter at Awakenings Tweet, and you can follow the updates of what's happening, guests that we have on, as well as any other local to global events or happenings that are taking place. I did want to read something just a little bit that I was reading earlier today from a book, Power Versus Force, many of you know, from Dr. Hawkins. And it kind of just struck me today is that over the weekend I had done a workshop on actually channeled information from the spiritual hierarchy and the oversouls, and a lot of it was about consciousness, that we need to be focusing on the consciousness that creates the manifestation. The awareness of that consciousness is where we really need to be playing with now, instead of kind of 3D or third dimensional drama games, if you will, because it's all about co-creative energy. You know, part of answering the call is how are you living this energy? How are you co-creating with your energy? That's really what we're doing here is managing energy, if you will. Managing energy, using energy, expressing energy in all its various forms. So just this little passage here. It's on genius and the power of creativity. Recognized geniuses may be rare, but genius resides within all of us. There's no such thing as luck or accident in the cosmos. And not only is everything connected to everything else, no one is excluded from the universe. We're all members. Consciousness, like physicality, is a universal quality because genius is a characteristic of consciousness. Genius is also universal. It follows that which is universal is available to each and every person. The process of creativity and genius are inherent in human consciousness. So to me, that genius really, for me, as I was reading that earlier in my contemplation meditation, was really about, are you tapping into your own gifts, your own talents, your own, you know, if you're going to go corporate, skill set. But I want to say the universal or cosmic conscious skill set, if you will. And then you're living your life radiantly. You're living your life abundantly. Whatever those gifts are perfect. The reason that you came into this space and place of living and being is because whatever it is that your gifts and talents are is needed right at this time. And that's why you're here. That's why you've descended into matter to find out what matters. That's why you are living the expression, the I am, the God, the all that is expressed through you as you. And we tend to have guests here that really, on awakenings, that really affirm that and confirm that and share their own path of awakening and understanding of their path and process and how they are self-realizing and actualizing their gifts into the world. So that's a big part of what awakenings is about. And I know I learn a lot from each guest as well in each interaction, because you get to see how everyone, in a sense, is actualizing their consciousness. And if you will, waking up to that and living that is really enlightened. That's living that enlightened living. To me, our guest that's coming up here, Pamela Beattie, she's a medical intuitive spirit medium, psychic, and past life therapist. And there's a great example of taking this gifts and talents that one has received or come in with, and developing those to a level of being able to co-create and live a life of this kind of fulfillment, to be living these talents, these gifts, and these skills, if you will. Pamela Beattie is also a lecturer in those fields. She's assisted her share of high-level and celebrity clients. She's been featured on the popular television show Flipping Out. She's been in the monthly magazine Journal for Longevity, and her work as a crime scene psychic was also chronicled in the television pilot for the Sci-Fi Channel. Since early childhood, Pamela has had the ability to see and communicate with spirits, and she shares that through lecturing and her own personal sessions. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to Awakenings.
Thank you, Michelle. Hello.
Hello. And thank you for tuning in ahead of time.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure, believe me, just to listen to you speak.
Oh, great, great. I love that show, by the way, Flipping Out.
Oh, he's such a nice guy. I mean, he really, truly is one of the most genuine, down-to-earth people I've ever met. You know, he's just got some issues like the rest of us.
That's right. Thank you for saying that. We all do. Yeah, but
yeah.
I think I might have seen that actually, that episode. Were you working with their animal beings?
You know, there's each year it's been a little different. So, one year I was working with his dogs, and then this past year I went to one of the houses that he had remodeled, and he wasn't being able to sell it. So what I did was go into the house and see energetically what was going on and see if there were any spirits. And, you know, turns out there was one. It was the owner of the house that built the house that had passed away. And he didn't like what Jeff was doing to the house. He didn't like the remodels. That was kind of an insult to him. So he was pacing through the house, yelling and screaming at everybody that walked in, you know, get out, get out. I don't want to sell the house. So hopefully, you know, we got rid of him. And I think he ended up, I'm not 100% sure, but he was in the process of selling it the last time I checked. So it was all good.
Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, just those on the other side sometimes are across the veil. I mean, it's, they're very near, and they can have attachments just like we can get attached here, right?
Absolutely. You know, I think people have a misconception about what being out of a body is really like. And, you know, just because you don't have a body anymore doesn't mean you're wiser than those of us that do have bodies. Because, you know, if you were really having a difficult time in life when you cross over, then, you know, it doesn't just instantaneously go away because you cross over. You know, sometimes people haven't transcended their physical form, and it's very difficult for them, and they still have those emotions that they had when they had a body.
Yeah.
You know, so, and other times they move on right away and like, oh, I get it, I see. You know, on the other side, you always have a possibility of healing yourself. You know, it's much harder here than it is over there, but to heal yourself, you know what I mean? But
oh, yeah, absolutely. it's interesting that you're saying that, because I think it was last week or something, or a couple weeks ago, in a class I was facilitating, got in a little debate with this. I'm so glad you're mentioning this. Maybe I'll direct them to listen to what you just said. Because I was sharing with them that just because someone may not complete what they're going to do on this level or this dimension, and they may it might be easier for them to complete it out of the earth plane or this 3D or 4D reality. They may be completing or helping others on the other side. And there's no judgment on that. It's not necessarily, you don't do it here, then you do it over there.
Right. Yeah. It continues. You see it more clearly, yes, when you have transcended. Sometimes people haven't, and I'm just using that term because I think most people understand what that transcendence means, but it's based on your own feelings about yourself at the time you cross over. It's not based on some feelings of God or judgment of the universe or anything. It's based on what you think and what you feel. And sometimes souls, when they cross over, they're not quite ready to go to that place, and they don't want to see it. Just much like people that you deal with on the earth plane. You know, there's some people that just don't want to get it. I mean, they want to stay in that kind of denial of their wrongdoings. So, and that's okay, too. You know, it's whenever you're ready, you know, then you see it.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing for people to get, is that that's really okay. If that's the game we want to play, there's no, any guy or girl in the sky saying,
you screwed up.
Like a ref, go back to the bench.
Yeah.
There's nobody.
Yeah.
There's no scorekeeper.
There's no magic wizard in the sky going, oh, you messed up. I got you on this one. You know, it's like it just doesn't happen. It's all about experiences. You know, it's whatever your experience is. It's all good to God. You know, I really believe that God is okay with it, and we are the ones that sit in judgment. We do it on the earth plane. So what makes people think it'd go away when you go into the other? You know, when you don't have a body.
Yeah,
it's the essence of our soul.
Yeah, and you're so right. It's just all about experiencing. We're just supposed to be experiencing us here in our life. And Pamela, I love what you said. It's all good to God. There's your little bumper sticker.
Yeah, it's all good. You know, a friend of mine, Michelle, makes fun of me because she'll call me up and, you know, something what is ostensibly bad happens in her life. And she'll call me up and she'll say, oh, my God, da-da-da-da-da. And I go, no, it's a good thing. Listen, it's because. And so to me, every experience is a good thing if you have the right perspective.
Yeah. Well, there's
it's all about perspective, you know, and we human beings have a tendency, I think, to determine what is good or bad at that moment. And it's if you feel bad, you automatically assume that it's a bad thing. And that's not necessarily true. And then, you know, 2 weeks down the road, you go, oh, I see what I was supposed to get. You know, so to me, it's always a good thing. I try to be more godlike in that way.
But it does take that reflection to look back, right, and say, because you're right, you do always see that if you do reflect back that, oh, that, like you said, it was a good thing.
It's a good thing. It's all good. It's all
it's
good
all
to God.
Good. Good to God. I think you got something there. Good to God. Because it's not always good to the human part of it. But it's always good to God. If you say in the God part, now, Pamela, we do have already the question in the chat room that from Kirk. He's asking, is there, when in the crossing over, is there a deprogramming that takes place on the other side?
Is there a deprogramming?
Deprogramming.
I guess you could call it that, but in actuality, what I've experienced by speaking to souls that have crossed over, it's all a little bit different. And what it is, it's at the second, usually in general, when you cross over, you immediately feel the pain that you've inflicted on others. You immediately have an understanding of how you made everybody else feel. That's what karma is all about. And you don't like it if you made somebody feel bad. You have an awareness because you have more of an awareness of love. And you realize that when you've been unloving to others, you've been unloving to yourself. So you see that, you feel and go, oh. And then in that moment, you make a choice how to, what he says, deprogram and how to figure it all out. And some people go into what could be described as a hell-like environment where you put yourself in the exact position that you had put others. You make yourself feel exactly like you've made others feel, not because you got it coming to you, but because you don't want to be that way. Not in a punishment way, because our system wasn't set up to punish. It's set up to grow. And you're the one that's deciding it. And then other times people go directly to their counsel, and, you know, it's more like, how'd I do, what'd I learn, you know, and you sit with a counsel, and they help you determine what your next step will be. But it's all, it's what I call getting the game. It's all part of the game. And the game, the only member of the, I mean, you're playing the game yourself. I mean, you're deciding. The council just helps you understand it a little better. It's like having a, you know, being in kindergarten and having a college professor teach you. It's the council knows and understands your soul and understands your actions. And it's all about understanding. And from that understanding, then you decide where you want, what do you want to do next? You know, and so do I come back? Do I go? You know, there's so many options. There's every option available to you. Do I go spend time with family members that have crossed over? Do I go find the people on the other side that karmically we want to work on? And then you make decisions whether to reincarnate. And it's, you know, it's all just so loving. Everything is from a loving perspective. So in that sense, I guess you could determine, I wouldn't call it deprogramming, because deprogramming to me means you've done something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really ever do anything wrong. You know, you create opportunities.
Right. There you go. I like it.
But I wouldn't, it's ostensibly wrong. I don't, in my humble opinion, I don't think we ever really do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, we're creating opportunities. Pain gives us opportunities to grow. So, like I said, it's a good thing to God.
Yeah.
So I hope that answers. I hope that answers his question.
I think so. Let's see. Yeah. Now, Pamela, can you just give us a little bit of background so listeners can see a bit of your path and your unfolding, and what guided you or directed you to this type of service.
Well, you know, listen, it was all negative experiences, or what could be construed as negative experiences. To me, when I look at them, they're all good experiences. But when I was a little kid, I, you know, like all little kids, imaginary friends, only I realized mine weren't imaginary. They were very intensely real to me. And I talked about them all the time until my family, who were devout Baptist. My dad was a minister, my uncle was a minister, and my grandmother really wanted to be, but the church didn't allow women. So they all convinced me that God would never, or anybody divine, or any angels, would never speak to me because I was young, but also because I was a girl. So, because that was against only, God only spoke to male ministers. Everybody else had to go through them to get their information, you know. So I was told that the devil was disguising himself and that the people that were speaking to me were the devil. Then my mother passed away, and I used to sit on our front porch and literally have conversations with her. And at that time, my family thought I was a little wacky. They thought I was completely out of my mind. Several of them talked about having committed, but one of my aunts, I guess, talked them out of it. And so I had such a negative experience, and I created a fear about God and thought God judged everything I did, and scared to death to die because before I was saved, because I thought I'm going to spend my life in hell. So I came from a very extremely religious background. So when I felt so bad about these voices in my head, and I always saw people, but nobody else talked about it. So I assumed that everybody saw people, they just didn't talk about it.
That's, me too. I understand.
you know what I mean? You just assume that well, why isn't anybody else talking about this?
Seeing, if you're seeing them, everyone must be seeing them, right?
But they're not talking about it, so I guess this is just part of life. I guess you're just not supposed to. So when I got out of high school, my fear of, by the time I got out of high school, my fear of the devil was so intense, and the hearing the voices in my head was so frightening to me that I just drank. Because I thought that would stop the voices, and it did. Of course, it opened me up to a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, the other kind of voices, right?
Yeah, the true devils of the world. And it took, you know, it took me a long time to get out of that. And I, what happened was I went to a broadcasting school, and I met this woman. And I was going on a job interview in Paducah, Kentucky, and she rode along with me and introduced me, and we started talking about reincarnation. Well, from that moment on, I was hooked. I was like, and I grabbed every book I could about metaphysical things and about the true reality that we all live in, and read every book I could, and then took a couple of, four or five classes from this woman who was a, she was, I guess, a spiritual teacher, you would call her. She did a lot of groups, and it took to it like a duck on water. I mean, it was just so natural because it was, I quit being afraid of it. It wasn't during that time that I didn't do anything. It wasn't that it was gone. It was that I was afraid of it. And this woman opened me up to my truth. And then, you know, it became really powerful. I mean, I just started hearing them and seeing spirits and, you know, in I started meditating an hour and a half every day. And because I just, when I went to this woman and she was able to explain to me about past lives and who I was, and because the reason I went to her is I thought I was going to die. I was sure of it. I knew it beyond a shadow of a doubt. I wrote out a will for my daughter and I knew I was going to die and I was freaking out. So I went to this woman and she saw a past life where I was a performer. And in that lifetime, I was going to be on the radios, I mean, you know, at that time. And I was a performer, and I died from falling off a ladder. So I was scared to die. I mean, it was at the time, Michelle, I couldn't cross bridges. I was afraid of heights. I got to the point where I couldn't even leave my house because I thought I was going to die. And in that past life, I was 36 years old when I fell and died. And in this life, I was, when this all started, a month away from my 36th birthday. So, yeah, and so she made it, it's amazing, and she made it all so clear to me when I went to her. I went, oh, my God, in that moment, I said, I want to help people like this, because it took away the fear. It helped me to understand what was going on, and from that moment on, I went, I want to help people do this. This has saved my life. This has enlightened me beyond belief. So, you know, I decided then to start doing it, and you know, little by little, I worked on my, like I said, I did the meditations for an hour and a half, and I worked on trusting the voices in my head and practiced with friends on tuning in to, you know, psychic things and talking to their spirit guides and their lost loved ones. And it progressed, and it progressed to the point that, you know, when I was a kid, I was always sick at my stomach, always. And I was always sick, and I couldn't understand why, and it wasn't until after probably, I'd say, 7 or 8 years after doing psychic readings, I realized that I was empathic, and it wasn't my headache, and it wasn't my stomach ache, it was everybody else's. So now in the sessions that I do, I feel everything first, and yes, I hear the spirit guides, but and yes, I see past lives, but I feel everything in my body physically that my clients are feeling, and I'm talking about emotions. So if they can't stomach something, I have stomach pain, and then I look in to see what that is. So, you know, all of the things that I do now have all developed separately over the years, you know, little by little. I, you know, added things to my repertoire, you know. So now it's pretty much open to anything. So that's kind of where I came from. I came from a totally fear-based place.
Mm-hmm. But what I find, see, to me, the gifts, when they open in this way that you're, and you're kind of led. Don't you find you're just kind of led
to
what the next thing is, to the next, and then it just opens. And it's not even necessarily something that you obviously plan on doing or even want to do. It's just like all of a sudden you're in this world and you're like, oh, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, most people, I always say God is my day timer. And, you know, most people plan out their whole life. So when it comes to their soul and their spirit, they try to take those same things and put it towards that, you know, those same ideals. And it just doesn't work that way. When you're ready, it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of it. What, you know, when you're ready, when you can handle it, when you, you know, can understand it, you know, I mean, we don't just instantly understand everything. You know, it comes to us, I think, in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it did for you, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it did. And, when I was listening to your sharing, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's so similar. It's almost bringing tears to my eyes that,
mm-hmm.
You know, being young and seeing spirits and hearing voices and the whole thing and even the meditation. What I like, too, what you said, though, is that you did start studying and you worked on yourself and you did the meditation. I think that's a component that a lot of people forget about,
mm-hmm.
right? And that you do keep, you know, open. You know, God is your day timer. You know, what am I supposed to be doing here? I think that's so important.
Well, it's like like Buddha said, the fastest way to the road of enlightenment is to pay attention. And I have perfected paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same information is available to me as is available to everybody else. But I pay attention to it. I listen. Because I know I know it's all opportunity. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think that's exactly what you're saying. Is like, look, I had a lady at a lecture once say, I want to be like you. How can I be like you? And I said, well, how much time do you spend on it every day? She goes, what do you mean? I said, do you meditate? No. Do you read any books about it? No. I said, well, how do you think you're going to get there? I said, it's just like playing the piano. You can't do it if you don't practice.
Right.
And it's like everybody thinks it's, yes, for me, and I'm sure for you, Michelle, I'd have to say it was easier because my soul always, in every incarnation, has had these experiences. Everyone has been, it's repeat, you know, it's just more, it's innate in everybody. We're designed and given these gifts in everyone. But just like I can't do heart surgery or I can't play the piano, mm-hmm. you know, but with spiritual stuff, I can just play.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier for me, but you can absolutely enhance your abilities if you do the work. I mean, it doesn't just, it came a little more automatic for me because I came in this way. I came in knowing.
Yeah, yeah.
I came in with a certain knowing. And so, yes, it's easier. But to me, you know, if you really want it, I mean, I really wanted it. It was like, I was just like, from the moment I had that realization, there's a whole lot more going on here than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know it all. You know, and so for, I would say a good 10 years, I, you know, read every book I could get my hands on, and I did meditate, and I would take friends and practice, and practice doing readings for them, and, you know, I did that for a long time before I even really took this as a career, you know, it's like, but it's
me too, and
I
like that too. You worked at it, and you didn't just put your little shingle out after a weekend.
No, because, you know, it's like, look, people's souls are important. It's important to me. And I do not, there's never a day goes by that I'm flippant about it. You know, I want to be as close and as tuned in as possible for the sake and for the reason of helping people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like I got such tremendous help. It changed my life what that woman did for me. And that's what I said I wanted. I wanted to change the way people see themselves, because once you have knowledge is power, you know, so for me knowledge was power. The more I knew, So I, you know, that's what I want to help people do. And I can't do that if I don't keep clear. I mean, now, you know, that what used to take me an hour and a half in a meditation takes me about 5 minutes now. You know, I can get to that deep place of a meditative state in a really short period of time. But it used to take me an hour and a half, and that's why I meditated for such a long time, because, you know, it took me first 45 minutes just to clear my head, and, you know, now it's like, bleep, okay, got that. But you have to work on it.
You're more in that state of consciousness. You're more in that vibrational frequency, so it's easier to dial in. You know, it's like if you've been at least walking, it's easier for you to run a little or jog a little.
Exactly.
If you never get out of the chair, right, it's hard.
Yeah.
If someone says jog to the...
I'm a spiritual couch potato.
Exactly. Now, Pamela, you also worked with businesses, or do you still do that? Or
you know, I don't do that. I don't do that as much anymore. Just out of, you know, personal preference, it just, I'd have to say that God kind of guided me away from that, because to me it was more about, I wanted to work more with the humans, the human aspect rather than the business aspect. I mean, people still come to me all the time, and I guide them as individuals in their business. But as far as working with the business, I don't do that much anymore. I mean, I can. It's just,
right.
It's just not been there recently, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Almost like it seems you've guided to work more on the soul level of the individual.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And groups, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's, and, you know, it's so interesting, and I'm sure you find this, that it's not just for other people that I do this. I mean, it sounds self-centered, but it's not. I do this for myself. And And along the way, if it helps other people, that is incredible and wonderful. But when I am doing sessions, I find that in every one, I get more insight and more information, because I'm dealing with spirits, and, you know, and I'm dealing with spirits that are a higher vibrational level than I am, so they have more knowledge than I do. So every time I'm, and many times, I mean, I'm a human being, I think as long as you have skin, you're going to have opportunity for growth and awareness. And I don't have much drama in my life, but my clients have drama. And I learn about God and how the universe works through their drama. So there's not a day goes by that I don't get another, like, oh, like an epiphany. Oh, I get it. I see. Yeah. So I learn from the... Sounds terrible, but I learned from the agony of the pain of my clients.
Yeah. Well, because you're learning, though. It's being aware. You're being aware to learn.
I'm paying attention. You know, I'm paying attention. So I get amazing, glorious opportunities for growth from pain, just like I do as my own individual. You know, and I make that choice. When in my life every day, I make the choice to either be a victim and become, oh, look at how bad this is for me, or step back, and, you know, in Hollywood they call it zooming out. So I take my little camera and I zoom out and I look at it from an observation standpoint. So I observe myself as I do my clients, and like, ooh, what am I getting from that? You know, and so, but I do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I don't have the ego that says, oh, look how great I am doing this work for other people. No, I'm doing it for me. I think that is the proper motivation. You know, because if I grow, then other people grow too. If they grow, I grow. You know, it's all about the we're one thing.
That's it. We are that in that space of one. Even especially when you're in that vibrational frequency, or that frequency of one, is you're learning, just as you're channeling or relaying the information, you're learning as well. And I feel that on some level, we're all meant to do that, wherever we are, wherever, right, however our gifts or talents are in this area. And maybe, do you find that people are moving more in that direction anyway?
Do
or
I
there's
find
the opportunity?
It? I find there's more opportunity now. You know, if you can look at the world, and I feel like the reason that there's a very divine plan in the more opportunity. And the reason that I feel there's more opportunity is because there are certain things we just have not learned. I mean, we just haven't, as a group consciousness I'm talking about. And so when we're, I mean, you can look at life that it's really awful. When you look at the world today and you see all the financial problems and the devastation, I mean, the tornadoes, the earthquakes, and all these people dying, and the devastation that we have, the wars, and you could say, wow, we are really messed up. The world's a mess right now. However, my perspective is it's a good thing. And the reason it's a good thing is because it's truly showing us that these things are wrong, and we have to pay attention. So when we're not paying attention, usually it's just like your body. You don't pay attention to it until it gets sick. And then you go, oh, what's going on in my stomach? My stomach. And so you slow down and you pay attention. And to me, the worldview is no different. All of these things are happening because there needs to be some changes made. We are growing in that direction, and there needs to be major changes made. So, you know, it has to be really bad sometimes for us to pay attention. Like God's trying to get our attention. You know, it's like, and I don't mean it in like God's creating all this devastation, because people will think I said that, but that's not what I meant at all. We're creating the devastation. Because we are fully, as a group consciousness, fully aware that things aren't the way they should be and that we need to make changes. So our higher consciousnesses are, as a group, saying, okay, wait, you know, we need to make some changes. So, you know, just like in personal life, change comes because of devastation. You know, if something bad happens, you change in your life and you grow. And I think as a whole, as a group consciousness, all of the stuff that's going on is just indicative of a change that is coming, like it has to. So to me, it's a good thing. Yeah, to me, it's a good thing because we have to grow in that direction. And there's opportunities. I mean, with everything that is going on in our world today and with all the devastation, that, you know, I'm like rubbing my hands together going, oh, goody, 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 you know, big change is coming, yay. So, you know, it all depends on perspective.
Well, it's a wake-up call, and that's the way people are having to, most people are having to wake up in this way. Doesn't mean that it always will be so, but at least for now, this is the way many wake up.
Yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I think, and you know, I would say, and I'm sure you agree on this, is in the land of spirit and the land of soul, there is no good or bad. It just, like you said earlier, it's just experience.
Yes.
You know, and usually it's the shortcut, even though it doesn't look like it at the time, it's the shortcut.
Yeah.
Now, Pamela, you've got quite a few people online, so I want to let everyone know I do see you on the switchboard. I want to ask a couple questions that were in the chat, and then we'll move to the phone lines. What I do suggest, if you have a question and you're waiting on the phone line, if you will press the number 1, which some of you have, and a little hand goes up, and that lets me know that someone has a question. And someone just did that too, number 1 at the top. Okay, great. It's so nice that they did that. It's so, you know, everything's been in such a wonderful divine flow, you know. And I have to share with you, Pamela, for you emailing ahead of time, because I pressed something, I did something, and I lost a bunch of data on my computer just with the awakening, just on the Wednesdays with the contact info. And then I couldn't reach my assistant, and so I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to wait, just let it unfold. I emailed right back. It was in such a wonderful flow, so thank you, God.
You're welcome. That's how it's supposed to work, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I figured, you know what? If it didn't, then something else was coming around that
there you
I didn't
go.
Know.
Yeah.
So we have one question from Kirk, and then I'll get to the chat. That he was asking: is it true that in his mind he's thinking that all that he's experienced was meant, he was meant to experience it to be where he is now. Do you find that that's true, that everything that people experience brings them to the, where they are now? Or is there sometimes you, things that you don't need to experience that you put yourself through?
Well, it's like I said, it's all good to God. So in God's perspective, everything you experience can be beneficial. And there are certain things that you predetermine, if you will, that you want to grow. Now, how you manifest those scenarios sometimes is free will.
Yes.
But it's all opportunity. And so, yes, some of those experiences that he's had were predetermined, and it's from the karma that was created, because usually our experiences are with other people. So those experiences were like, oh, I want to go, and I have this karma with that person, I want to fix it. And so you usually manifest those opportunities with through karma. But there's always free will. So, you know, everybody, clients will call in and they'll be so worried about making a mistake, like choosing the wrong path. And in my humble opinion, there is no wrong path. There is just degrees of difficulty. So if one path, the degree of difficulty won't be as bad. The other path will be harder. But it's still all good to God. So it's but it just it's the degree of difficulty that your soul decides at the time that it wants to go. So to me, there's no wrong path and there's no wrong experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Another one that question, and I'm not sure now who put it in, but is there a way to contact our spiritual doctor and know what they are seeing or saying?
Our spiritual doctor? Is that what that?
Like, I guess some people have a belief that, you know, maybe there's a spirit guide that is help that medical, like a medical doctor. Some people
It
can even be, it may or may not be a guide. Let's open it up a little bit for everyone, because it may or may not be a guide, but it could be even an aspect of themselves that knows what's going on, right?
Well, it's always that. But I think the best, again, the best way is to pay attention. It's, look, if you've, our spirit guides are those that guide us and help us are based upon our needs at the time. So if you're sick and you don't understand, if your body gets sick, your soul is talking. Because your body, every disease starts in the soul. So, the body just reflects that. The body just says, over here, we're not happy here. So it's aspects of the soul. Now, your spiritual doctor, if you have needs for one, they will come and start making you feel a certain way in your stomach, for example. You know, it's like they will make you think, you know, they'll whisper in your ear like every other guy, what's wrong with my stomach? What's wrong with my stomach? What's wrong with my stomach? You know, to help you to figure out what it is that's going on. And, you know, the reason God created medical doctors as well. So sometimes we just got to go.
Yeah.
You know, everything was created by God. So sometimes
I had a session with someone like that a while ago, and I kept saying, go to the doctor, and I was seeing something wrong in the blood, and they finally went, and it was something very serious, and they had been going to a homeopath, and I said, I love alternative medicine, but just get the blood work. Find what
I do too, but if it's available to you, why not take it?
Yeah.
It's like, look, I haven't been to a medical doctor in, I can't tell you how long, an MD, I'm talking about an allopathic doctor, not a homeopath. And I usually go to homeopaths or, you know, I have a core group of really great people that I use, and it keeps my body and my energy flowing, and I pay attention, it keeps me in touch. So for me to have I don't have the need for a spiritual doctor, you know what I mean? I don't have that need for somebody. But if that person feels like they need to get in touch with that spiritual doctor, I assure you the spiritual doctor is already around, and you just need to pay attention.
Okay.
They're already giving you that information.
Okay, probably even just by asking. So pay attention,
yeah.
I like that.
If you're asking, they're talking.
They're talking. I love it.
Yeah. It's like they're not the ones not showing up.
Right. We
have
to look. We have to listen. Yeah, I know. And then one last question from the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room, also known as the chat room. How to work with the soul level of a business? Is that possible?
How to work? Yes, it is possible. And if you're, I mean, all of us have to work, you know, whether it's, you know, I'm self-employed, but I still have to work, and other people have to work. And in order to work with your soul, it's, look, if you're doing, if you're, okay, I'm going to use one word, petty.
Mm-hmm.
If you can rise above pettiness and zoom out all the time and see things for what they are, which is the karma, it's what I call getting in the game. You need to get in the game. Your soul is designed to have experiences and not always good ones.
Mm-hmm.
So being in business is no different than being in your family. It's all soul opportunity. And if you're in the game, you're paying attention, you zoom, if you have a negative experience with a coworker, you zoom out and go, huh, from a observational, not judgmental perspective, and observe why this is happening. What can you gain from it?
Mm-hmm.
And do it within yourself. You never, ever need conflict if you are in touch with yourself, because you will have it, you'll grow from it, and then the need for it will go away. So the soul is in business is no different than the soul in life, in every aspect of life. It's all the same game. And the game is to grow as much as possible and to have every opportunity for growth. And your coworker, the karma with your coworker is no different than the karma with your family. And so you can use it. It's all the same game. And we choose our work path, our business path, for the sole purpose of growing and learning. And our soul feels like, ooh, that's a good opportunity. I'll go be a lawyer. Or you know what? I'll go to work for McDonald's. That's where my perfect soul opportunity will come. So soul business is no different than family business to me. To the soul, it's all the same.
Yeah.
So you just have to pay attention to those opportunities, karmic opportunities, because that's why you pick a business. It's karmic opportunities, not so that you'll be a successful business person unless that's your karmic opportunity.
Boy, do
that's
I know
the game.
That. That's it, exactly.
That's the game.
Okay. So now we're going to get to the phone lines here.
Okay.
And we have caller one, which is 414-755. You're on Awakenings with Pamela Beattie. Who am I speaking
Hi.
With?
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Hi, Barbara. Yeah, if you could speak up just a little bit more.
Does this work a little bit better?
Yes. Yes.
All right, super. Can we go back just a step to the business aspect that you were just talking about and working at the soul level? If your business is a business of service and trying to reach the hard, deserving individuals such as our senior populations, how can you truly listen to what's coming up to better assist these individuals and to reach out to more of them?
Okay. Okay.
That makes
you
sense
know,
to you?
It does. In other words, your soul has the divine purpose to help as many of these individuals as possible. This
yes.
is a passion. This is a passion of yours.
Since
well, first off,
grasshopper.
Yeah. Well, first off, Barbara, you know, you have to understand that your passion will guide you in the right direction because it is truly something you sent yourself here to do. There is a compassion. Now, I can tell you where that passion comes from, by the way. I think it was the last lifetime you were here, your soul was old and you felt like nobody loved you and nobody cared for you and nobody understood you, and you left very frustrated. You left the body very frustrated and angry, and you swore you were going to come back and help and change that. So your passion alone should be enough to guide you if you're paying attention. And it's like, look, don't, I mean, because I feel a certain sense of frustration with bureaucracy. Does that make sense?
Yes, and a lot of fear.
Yeah. And so you've got to walk away from all of that belief and just do this because do it for you. Because, listen, you cannot control. The only control we have in the world is how we feel about it. That's it. Because there's too many of us and there's too much going on and everybody's in their own game. So the only control you have is how you feel about it. When you feel fearful or frustrated, then you really create fear and frustration. If you know for a fact that you are doing this from the heart, then if something doesn't happen, just know it wasn't supposed to. That, you know, God is actually guiding and helping you. And it's like sometimes we fight the system where we should flow with the system. So your passion, you want to do this because your soul wants to feel successful at doing it. And what the point you're missing, Barbara, is that you already are successful at it because you started it. That's where the success, you're doing what you said you were going to do. So the rest of the things that happened for you with this endeavor, it's all gravy because you've already started and what you came here to do. So bravo.
I don't Wonderful. Feel like I'm reaching enough people.
I don't want to say this, but that's, you got to be careful to check in with your ego. Because I feel like you are, and I feel like you're doing the right thing. It really feels passionately that you are. And the only thing that there's a subconscious block that is keeping it from being easier. And I think that subconscious block is that you think it's going to be difficult. Do you?
No.
Do you have this idea in your head that it's supposed to be difficult?
No, I might have the idea in my head I don't deserve it.
I don't really feel that you feel that way. I mean, on a subconscious level, I don't think you feel like you deserve it. I don't think that's it. I think it's more, okay. You have to always check in with the ego to make mm-hmm. sure that it's not your ego that wants this instead of mm-hmm. your true passion. So you have to check in with that. But I really believe you need to start seeing the little successes as successes. And then little by little, those doors will open up. Because I don't think, oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you really get that yet, that I've helped one person, I am a success. Mm. And you don't really see that. And I don't think you see the impact that you have. Do you think you do?
No, I don't.
Yeah, and I think if you just stop and go, ooh, look what I did.
Yeah. Play on each level. Play on each, like you're on a hike. Go each little rest spot, enjoy each level, and that'll lead you to the next one much easier. That's what that will carry
mind,
you.
In my mind, when I give myself an accolade like that, I feel it's coming from ego, and I should just be honored that I'm able to provide assistance and make that person's life more pleasant
for
them.
Yeah, but the ego comes into play when you only feel good if you make others feel good. Doing the work should make you feel good.
Yeah.
Because
roll
you're doing you're doing the work,
next,
sweetie.
Yes, because we have the next caller, because we have a lot of people waiting in line. So we'll go. But, roll. And that's for everyone, too. You're here for your co-creation. So you're the passion play, the play of consciousness. The more you roll around in and love and marinate in and feel your joy, the more you have expansion and fulfillment. And that comes in all energy forms. So, the more you can appreciate you, the more that comes back to you. Thanks so much, sweetie, for calling into Awakenings. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Hello, 403-254, you're on live on Awakenings.
Hello.
Hello, who am I speaking with?
My name's Diane.
Hi, Diane, and
Hi.
You're on Awakenings with Michelle and Pamela Beattie. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I was just in this time of my life having a health crisis, having cancer and going through chemo, and I'm just wondering what my soul, why that would bring that to me, why would manifest that. and what my purpose
is. Could you repeat your first name again?
Diane.
Diane, okay, great. Diane.
Okay. Michelle, I know you have the answer to this. Do you want to give it or do you want me to? I mean, it's, you know,
no,
it's like, look, you, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I get two things. I get a bigger game, a bigger level of fulfillment,
mm-hmm.
and I keep getting open to receive, let others give to you.
Mm-hmm.
Did that resonate with you?
And also, you know, cancer is guilt.
Mm-hmm.
We create it, you know, how cancer, and I, first off, honey, I'm sorry that your soul is going through this. I know it must be difficult, and so my prayers and go out to you because I know how hard this is. But cancer is like, similar to guilt, which cancer eats away
mm-hmm.
at you, and so does guilt. Now, there's something in, I don't know where in what part of your body the cancer has manifested, but there's something around the breast, the heart, that is the energy is really blocked there. And the energy from that, the guilt that, and I keep picking this up, it's, why is guilt in child there? What's the guilt about child?
I mean, I know that, I've heard that guilt. But I don't know what the guilt I have is.
Okay. So what's the...
Well, sometimes
the,
it's taking up space. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. it's the guilt. You're like wanting something or wanting... And there could be programming about wanting too much or sometimes even creating. Sometimes we're programmed to think we need to help others or be there for others or be in a certain role. And there can be a guilt about wanting to do something else or live mm-hmm. another way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you, where in the body is the cancer? Where is it?
Plasma.
I'm sorry?
It's blood, in the blood plasma cells.
That's why I mentioned blood earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In the blood. Because this has been, and I can tell, and I'll do it really quickly, Michelle, but this has been kind of a pattern I feel like your soul has created in many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think the guilt is coming from, God, it sounds terrible, but living.
From what?
Living. Yeah, living. And did you feel like you've had a, because your soul doesn't feel like it's had a good life. Do you think you have?
Somewhat.
So do you feel like your soul had a good life? I mean, up until the cancer.
Happened, yes, it did.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's the guilt I'm picking up is about living, just having a good life and living.
Mm-hmm. I would say, and then we need to move on, wish we had more time.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, to be able to take up... And this is not just for just the manifestation of cancer, because every you know, reading applies to sense to everyone that's connecting here right now. But take up more life. In other words, because I can feel what Pamela is saying in the picture that's coming through about more fulfillment or about doing more for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a direction I'm feeling, and what Pamela was saying, I feel could have been even in childhood, where,
mm-hmm.
yeah, your life was good, is good, everything's there, you know, there's love, but there's something more stirring in the soul, and it might take a little leap, it might to
mm-hmm.
go in this new direction that might seem a little more self-absorbed, because sometimes whatever the condition is, a lot of times illness, it's not just, it's for the people around us as a teaching tool as well
mm-hmm.
as ourselves, but usually illness is a form of creation. We create something. We're always co-creating or creating. So when we create an illness, sometimes to out-create it or move in a different direction, that's why a lot of times you see people that take up painting or sculpturing when they're sick, they tend to, the illness goes away. It's
exactly.
part of their right, their recuperation, and all of a sudden,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, I took up painting when I had cancer, and somehow it went away. So what I so strongly feel for you, and even hear from your guides, is that there's a direction that you need to actually say, what the, you know what, what do I have to lose, and whatever, and go into that direction of more fulfillment, more creativity. And I hear what you're
real
saying,
living.
Pamela. It's about
real
really living.
Living,
taking up space. I want you to take up space. I want you to take up more space in your house, throw some clothes around. I want you to take up more space in life because you are meant to be here. You are meant to be here.
Yes.
But you've got to take up more space. And like Pamela said, really live.
Mm-hmm. Really live.
Yeah. Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're going to do it? You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Call
Good.
Me
Yay.
Back. Call us back, and I'll forward the email to Pamela, because I know you're going to see a profound change by doing this.
Okay.
I can see it already. I can see it happening already. You know what it is you really want to do?
No.
Well, that's
a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's taking. When you try, think of a little kid. When they try different projects that they're doing, their room is messy. They've got toys, and they go and paint a picture, and then they paint another picture. So try all those ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Just go for it.
Okay.
And call us back or email. Let us know how you're doing, okay?
All right.
Okay.
All right, Diane. Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Such a light. Such a love. Take up space. I love what you said. Really live. That's it. Really live. Hi, 302-367, you're on Awakenings with Pamela Beattie. 302-367, you're on Awakenings. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I did.
Okay, who am I speaking with? To whom am I speaking with?
Oh, you're speaking with Ira.
Ira, hi, Ira. You're on live with Pamela Beattie.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I just have one question. Okay, I've been basically becoming aware, awakening. You know, I've been reading several different books, Eckhart Tolle. I've been reading the Book of Thoth. I've been studying the Miracle. I'm sure you know the Course in Miracles. And it's like the more that I get into this, the more I study, it's like the more I keep running into problems, and it's like I'm wondering, am I going the right way or what's going on?
Well, you are going the right way, and spiritual growth is messy. The more sometimes we grow, the more we open up, the more our soul is like, ooh, goody, opportunity, quick, create a whole bunch of stuff for me. And it's to me, you're absolutely going in the right direction. Your spirit guides and everybody that watches over you from the other side are really excited and really happy. And you just have to change your perspective about the things that are going on for you. Because everybody thinks that, you know, boy, the more spiritually aligned I become, then the greater my life and the easier my life is going to be. And that's a misconception. It opens the door to more opportunities because you have sent a message out to the universe, hey, I'm ready, I want to grow, I want to get this stuff, I want to learn, and the universe goes, okay, here you go, send in the crap, you know? So you open up a whole bunch of stuff, and it's all so good for you. It's like, look, you just change your perception of what, that it's not a bad stuff that's going on, but, you know, get excited that you're opening up all the nooks and crannies of your soul, and you get all these great opportunities to have greater understanding of the self, because that's what it's really all about. And it's just think of it, you're purging, you know, and that's why I say spiritual growth is messy, because it's not easy. You know, and also the farther up the mountain to enlightenment you go, the more narrow the path. So if you're at the bottom of the path is wider at the bottom of the mountain, and it's a lot easier. But when you get up there at the heights of the mountain, the path gets really narrow, and one little slip, and you fall. So this is all a great opportunity. You should be really proud and really happy that all these things are happening, because that means it's a good thing. That means a lot of good stuff is going on for you. Does all that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. it does make sense. You know, however, you know, from a child I was told, you know, about being a minister. And my mother had psychic abilities, or however you might want to explain that. And, you know, for a long time, you know, I felt a pull to study. You know, I've studied wicker, witchcraft, and all of that, you know, for a moment, but something kept pulling me past that. You know, not that I wanted to practice that, but it's been pulling me past that. And, I just started trying to channel, you know, just trying different things, see what fits and see what doesn't fit.
Right. That's what Michelle was saying earlier. You know, it's you have to, how are you going to know if you don't try it? And then you just hit your stride, you know, you figure it out. By the way, is your mother's mother on the other side?
I can feel her over here right now.
You
my
can?
Whole hand.
Yeah.
She moved on.
Because your mother's mother is around you all the time. Constantly. You feel her, huh, Michelle?
Yeah, my whole hands and my arms as he's speaking, and I can see this woman behind him.
Yeah.
More
so
smaller.
Excited. She's excited.
One thing I want to say, it was the minister. Just think of it in a non-literal way, because you can have a ministry no matter what you're doing. It's your intention. So you don't have to. What I keep hearing around you is not to get locked in the patterns of your family, that you have to do your life in a certain form or a certain way. Your ministry could be music. Your ministry could be writing or rap. Your ministry could be, you know, a real estate agent, but you just have a consciousness about you and you do it in a certain way. So I do feel ministry around you, but I feel that you're going to find it's in a non-literal way. And through you connecting with people, they're going to come away and say, wow, I just like that guy for some reason. He's he's really cool.
He changed my life. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I've experienced that. I have experienced
that. Well, see, you're doing
You're already ministering. Yeah.
See, you're already being a minister. So, you know, you don't need the little paper. Okay.
Right.
All right. Blessings
right.
to you. We're going to move on to the next call because we have quite a few. But I really appreciate you calling into Awakenings. And I know you've gotten some wonderful insight from Pamela. So
yes.
You can stay on and listen also if you'd like.
All right. Thank you very much.
Welcome. Have a good day, Ira.
All right. You likewise.
Thank you.
All right.
Such beautiful souls.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Hi,
he's
going
to have fun.
He is. I don't get you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Break out of the mold.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi, 780-356. You're on Awakenings. Did you have a comment or question?
Hi, this is Neva.
Say the name again.
Neva.
Neva? Hi,
yes.
If you could speak up a little bit more.
Okay.
Perfect, Neva.
Thanks.
And you're on, and this is Pamela. You're on with Pamela Beatty.
Yes. My question is, I have developed fibromyalgia, and I can't seem to get rid of it. And my life is sort of, I've tried a home business doing energy work, and it hasn't developed. And often I live in catastrophe, like it's either everything goes smoothly or everything is chaos.
Neva, where is your father?
He's passed.
Okay. What kind of relationship did you have with him?
Fearful.
Yes. Because when I ask your subconscious mind where this fibromyalgia, where this feeling of immobility, because to me that's what fibromyalgia is, it immobilizes you, where it came from, and it showed me your father. When did you develop this? Was he alive at that time?
No.
Yeah, when did he pass away?
It'd be 14, I think it's 14 years now.
Yeah, because I felt like you're the inner child, the little girl within you. There's a bunch of issues that she never got an opportunity to heal. And father just keeps coming up.
I keep hearing it. And I feel he's still,
you're
still
supporting
around.
Him somehow, taking his taking your energy.
Yeah, he is, and it's because he's really around you. And you know, I'm just going to tell you this from him, because this feels like the source of it to me. And so from him, I want to tell you that you are not responsible for his happiness. You are not. Because I feel like your soul took it on, and it's just taken this long for it to come into full fruition. And it's, you know, I just feel like the pressure and the pain and the negativity, it's like you took on his karma, and your little girl wanted to heal it, and she never got the opportunity. Because honestly, I don't feel like this is your stuff. Does that make sense, Michelle? I mean, are you
yes.
picking it? Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like it's not even yours.
Okay.
You're
it's not even
him.
Yours.
No, and the thing is, with the energy work, I would say right now,
let it go.
You're needing,
yeah,
let it go, because your vitality is the, I mean, it's like a trickle almost getting into the physical body. It's so too much other dimensional towards the Father.
Yeah, you're allowing him in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're carrying
him.
You're literally carrying him. I can feel it.
Yeah. So when you say things are going bad, I want you to think for a minute. Was your dad's life smooth and easy, and did he have a good life, your dad?
No.
And I feel like you're, like Michelle said, I mean, you're feeling his pain. You're feeling his misery. Your soul doesn't feel like it can have a good life because he didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So this isn't
I would
about
say with
you.
No, I would say you need to, you know, there's, I don't know if you have any tools, Pamela, but you need to be steeped in different consciousness, like even, you know, a science of mind or something that, you know, it can be anything that's about living your life and separating out and what do you want to do. And I would say with those kind of people right now, because I don't feel you can do this just on your own. Do you see that?
I don't either.
You need input,
she needs
support.
Help.
Yeah. Yeah.
She needs some
or
help.
Or contact Pamela. I'm going to, Pamela, by the way, because I'm putting it in the chat, this is a good opportunity to give your website, because maybe you can assist further in this.
Okay. It's just PamelaBeatty.net. And also, you know, look, I the way I would suggest you do that is I think that this has gotten so bad that you need help. Now, and if you email me, there is a woman in Burbank that can help you detach from your father's spirit. I mean, like, she can literally break the tie that binds the two of you. And then either, you know, get some help, either myself, Michelle, somebody, get some help to get this guy off of you.
Yeah,
because I feel like he's around you all the time.
Yeah, you're still giving him energy even from the other side, and it's like a little hump on your back, on your shoulder. I can see it. It's in the ancestral chakra, which is the back of the body, right where the heart center is. The other thing I would suggest, there's Michael Bernard Beckwith, and you could probably get it online somewhere, because I see that 780 is out of town area code, the Life Visioning CD set. Because I think you need not just, you need people support and to be around people that are uplifting. You need lifting up.
Yes.
But also I feel listening to music or listening to CDs that are lifting you up and showing you another way. You know, we all need that every now and then.
We all need help.
Spiritual cheerleader.
Yeah.
You need that right now.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a quick, I'll give you a quick symbolic thing you can do.
Okay.
It's go into the bathroom and get in the shower and see your father standing behind you and see the water washing away his spirit. You know, it's like, I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair. that's what you're going to do. And you're going to do it joyously, like, oh, I'm getting rid of him. Yay. Bye, Dad. See ya. And visualize him walking away. And if you don't want to get in the shower, do it with your hands. But visualize, like, him literally standing right behind you, and then you're turning around and facing him, and you just gently, lovingly say, okay, I'm done with you. I'm not going to help you heal anymore. This is my life. I'm going to live my life. And really
and
ritualistically do it every day. Not just
and
once.
I would suggest also seeing him connected to Source. I would
yep.
suggest you visualizing and feeling that you're connected to Source, to God, and you're receiving energy from Source. And as like Pamela's saying, washing him out of, you know, you being responsible for him.
Yeah.
Visualize and see him connected to Source. You can see a big string or a funnel of light or whatever you want to do, but see him connected back to Source because you're not his source.
And you know what? I just told him to get away. So it's like, look, my spirit guys are going to go to him and convince him,
to
leave
source.
You alone. Yeah. So we're going to try to walk him away from you and into the light once we get off the phone. Spirit is going to work on that for you. And by the way, he says he is sorry.
Okay.
He is sorry. He felt like he
all
abandoned
right.
you when he was here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what am I looking to do just to clear the ancestral ties with him?
Yeah, right now I would say get your upliftment and like what Pamela was suggesting, just ritualistically releasing, cleansing from that. And just I just want you to see yourself connected to Source and
mm-hmm.
see him connected to Source. And then beyond that, you could get with Pamela. I also suggest the Life Visioning CD set. You just right now, you need to swim in this consciousness of upliftment. You need to get support for that. The body changes will happen from that. But you need an upliftment swimming pool, bath, that you just that's what you need right now.
Mm-hmm.
You need your spiritual cheerleaders around you.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Okay. Thank you very much for that help.
You're welcome. Blessings.
You're welcome.
I love that. Also with the water. Oh.
Yeah.
All right. All right. 714-600, you're on Awakenings.
Hello.
Who am I speaking with? Hi. Who is this?
Aria? Yes, you guys have both beautiful healing energy. I love it.
Oh, I can feel yours, Pamela, coming over here. With
yeah,
we're sending it out and receiving it back, and it's as Pamela
yeah,
says,
exactly.
good to
part
God. It's all good
calling.
To God.
Because I actually felt Aria's mother come through my right arm, and I'm thinking, okay. And I'm just like, oh, you guys have beautiful energy. But that's sort of my problem is because, like, the beginning of the show, how you guys were talking about your experiences, well, that happened to me. And I'm very much an empath, and I'm really struggling because the more I study, the more I learn, the more I read, the more my frequency goes up, and I'm feeling pain that's not mine a lot.
Right, yeah.
And I they said you need to ground more, so I'm grounding more, cutting cords, making sure I'm separating, trying to separate. But the pain that I'm feeling from other people, and somebody has a toothache or something, because I don't know, was it the lady right before, because my teeth just started hurting. And it's, I don't know what to do. I need help with that.
Well, from my perspective, I'm highly empathic as well, like I said. Again, I take on everything. But I enjoy it. And the reason
okay.
I enjoy it is because I understand it. It's like,
okay.
So, yeah, most people go, oh, she's sick all the time. But to me, I don't think of myself as being sick all the time. I just think of myself as like, well, you know, I'm a vessel. It's okay. But I enjoy it because I enjoy everything else that goes along with it. You know, it's an occupational hazard. Just
yeah.
like everything else.
I mean,
every other job, you know, has an occupational hazard. And that's part of my job. You know, and it's okay. I'm okay with that because it helps me. Now, real quick, one of the things that I heard immediately with you is put the books down. Stop
mm-hmm.
reading. Stop. You got to enjoy where you are, sister.
Okay.
You got to just be there for a little bit. Put the books down. Don't read any other thing. It's like just experience what you're experiencing right now and let that be your lessons. Let that be your teacher. Don't read anybody else's words for a little while. I mean, what they're suggesting is a good 6 months. Put the books down.
Okay.
Get the feelings. And also the other thing they're telling me to tell you, you need to journal all of this, because there's some stuff about the stuff that's going on with you that you are just not getting.
Yeah.
So you need
more
to,
the peacock dreams and stuff. But then when I get up, I was like, I'm too lazy.
Just put a tape recorder by the bed, one of those little digital recorders, and or a notepad or something, and write it down. But you know, you're getting information a little too fast. You need to kind of, you know, you need to tread water for a little bit instead of trying to swim the channel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just tread water. Enjoy where you are. Quit trying to go somewhere else.
Okay.
Just be there. Just be there. Just thoroughly, you know, you're in this beautiful pool and you keep trying to swim out to the ocean. Just swim in the pool for a little bit. And enjoy it, you know, enjoy every part of it. And then you can decide how if you want to go swim in the ocean later on. But right now, enjoy the pool.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Aria.
You're welcome. I do love hearing when people are doing it, you know, like you said in the beginning of the show, when they're going after it.
I love to
see that.
I think it's the time, don't you? I think it's the time to...
Now is the time.
Now,
yes.
And there's a lot of support, you know. And I think what you said earlier about getting the support, you know, it's okay to get support. We all need support in different kinds and different times of our life.
Yes, we do. And that's okay. It's where we
Absolutely.
Are.
Yes,
you can't, you
exactly.
know, you got to be where you are, not,
be
you know,
you
always
are.
Be on the path of getting to where you're going. Just assume you're already there.
So enjoy where you are.
Yeah.
Let's see, caller 9, we're 337-837, you're on Awakenings. Whom am I speaking with?
Extraordinaire.
Hi, Extraordinaire.
Hi,
this is Michelle.
I'm enjoying your show immensely. And I just like to confirm pretty much 100% of what you guys are saying. I don't consider myself psychic, but there have been many times in my life, my relative, someone whom I was extremely close to, he's gone to the other side now. But he used to tell me all the time, hey, man, you know what? You got something with you. You said something, and it turned out to be so. And he would tell me that, so I started paying attention to what he said, and I found myself, not that I intended to focus on certain people and certain things, but things come to me, and I just say what is coming to me. And coincidentally, it was there. Now, I don't know how you crystallize that. And the other thing I have a concern about, you know the old cliche saying that rest in peace? Well, I was very close to both my parents. But my father passed on before my mom, so my mother was still around, and therefore she and I had a lasting close relationship. I come from a very close-knit family, siblings and all. But when I had my trials in life that, you know, life often bring, my mother would always come. And sometimes when I have a little frustration, I would say to myself, I'm not going to worry you this time, Mom, because I'm thinking in my soul that I should allow her to rest. Should we allow I love one to rest and not bother them so much? Is that a ridiculous question or what?
Well,
not
to me.
It's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
What do you think, Emma?
Well, it depends on what you're bothering them for. It doesn't sound like you're grieving her passing. Grieving is the one that keeps them from doing their work. And they always have a choice. Yes, they can feel you, and they can feel you having this issue, but she's a volunteer here. She wants to be here. So in your particular case, it is not a bother to her at all. It's helping her a great deal because she's growing through your growing. So to her, it's like, woohoo, you know, this is awesome. I love this. This is so great that I get to do this. But in other people, they call upon them for the wrong reasons, and that is they're grieving, like, I want you here, and, you know, they don't let them go, and they don't let them do the work that they need to do. But in your particular case, you're not bothering her at all. That's what I think. But normally, if you're grieving, you are, if you grieve the passing of somebody, you are slowing down their spiritual progress.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side, they can, yes, they always hear you talking about them, and they always feel you, but they can choose whether to come or not.
Okay, and my last thing, and I'll let you get too many other callers. You got, you're definitely right on, and this is another area I probably might speak for most people, and maybe some people don't even realize that. The struggle one within have is knowing, is it my ego or is it my
mm-hmm.
soul, and trying to make some clear direction in one's life. Example, in my personal life, I'm a restaurant manager, but I work for a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to do my own restaurant in spite of what the economics are right now in America. But I don't know, and many people, they confirm that without even knowing that is my inner soul of opening my own. Many people tell me, hey, man, you should open your own restaurant. But once again, I'm mindful and careful. Is it my ego or is it my soul?
Oh, hello? I'm sorry. Are you guys waiting for me to answer?
Yes.
Yeah. I was tuning in.
Oh, I am so sorry. Does it really matter what it is? Does it
yes,
matter whether it's your
it
ego or it's your soul?
Yes, it does.
Because, well, here's the thing. Either one, like I said, either one is an opportunity. It's an opportunity whether you do it or it's an opportunity whether you don't. I think the ego is afraid of doing it. So, therefore, it tells me you should probably do it. But I think mm-hmm. because I think the ego has a fear about it. And, listen, there's no right or wrong. It's only what we determine. And if you are, because to me, fear is an interesting thing. You can either run from it or you can turn around and look at it and go, what do you want? You know, it's like, why? So it's like what you're saying is the fear genuine or is the fear your higher consciousness saying, oh, God, don't do that. Oh, God, don't do that. Or is it a fear? Is it like, what if I fail, what if I fail, what if I fail? Or is it your higher consciousness saying, oh, God, don't do that? That's the difference. And to me, your higher consciousness is saying, go for it. And I don't know what Michelle's picking up, but it doesn't feel harmful to me.
No, it doesn't. And remember, your ego personality is an extension of the soul. It's the outpicturing of the soul on this dimension. It's your physical form, your physicality. So if there's fear, I agree with Pamela what she's saying. Go for it. It may be just that it's something new, or you're uncertain, or you don't know if you can do it, or the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all mental, emotional things that you can handle. But it doesn't, you know, fear doesn't always mean don't do something. It just may mean not now, or slow down,
yeah.
or get help emotionally. So yeah, I feel like you're in an expansion. I feel like it's about moving forward.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree. Yeah. I agree. Like, go for it. And the only thing that Spirit is telling me to tell you, it's like, go for it. The only thing Spirit is telling me, and they're laughing, because you're 2 degrees away from, you're 2 people away from the person with the money. It's almost like you probably already know them. And get somebody else's money. And then that way, you know what, look, you will be successful. I mean, that sounds terrible, I know, but it's somebody that can afford to not have the money, but it's somebody else's money, and you will do the work, and you will set it up, and you will do a great job, and it takes the pressure off of you. Get a partner, because I see you with a partner, and it's your restaurant, in essence, it's your restaurant. But somebody else will just, once you say to the universe, yes, instead of going, oh, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, shouldn't I,
yeah.
I don't know. Instead of saying that, you say, yep, that's what I want. Then the floodgates will open and it will come to fruition and you have nothing to fear.
Well, you pretty much say what I often say to people who tell me that. I don't think it's fear, but I often tell people it's going to happen when everything lines up.
Yep. But you haven't said yes yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate all you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I love that. Yeah, go where the yeses are.
Yeah.
Go where the
say
yeses
yes.
are.
You know, it's like yes. I always tell people, God has this army of beings to help us. And it's just like there's the floodgates of like, no, wait, they haven't decided. No, wait, they haven't said yes yet. No, hold it back. Wait, wait, wait. And they're waiting. For, everything is waiting for us to say, okay, now. And then
yeah.
the floodgates open and everything comes. But, you know, he just hadn't said yes yet. That was it.
Now, Pamela, do you think that's because of our the free will portion? That
of why
that
we don't
waiting,
say yes?
Well, or that they're waiting to, you know,
yeah.
further activate or accelerate or give.
Right.
Do you think that's because of the free will aspect of us? Or
I do think that's what it is. It's our own consciousness determines the things that happen for us. And God wants us to have everything we want, but if we never say we want it, if we don't and we don't overcome our fear, it can't possibly be provided. It's I believe that once we put that light on, once we turn the porch light on, you know, the moths come, you know, and everything is drawn to us. And you know, with him, all he's got to do is say yes, and everything will just come to him. It will just all fall into place. And he, you know, and like most people, the reason it doesn't fall into place is because we are putting out fear that it won't work. You know, we put so much time and energy into something won't work that we forget to put that same kind of energy into that something will work. You know, so we need to put
right.
it in like, yeah, this is going to work. And just not have any fear about it, and it will. That doesn't mean everything will be perfect. It doesn't mean, like, you know, he'll open the restaurant and not have any problems. You know, problems are opportunities. So that's where I think that we have this misconceived notion that I made a mistake, you know. Like, if he opens it up and things don't go aren't seemingly going right, he would then make the assumption that he'd made the wrong choice and he did the wrong thing, and that's not true at all. There is no perfection. Perfection
no.
in the universe is that things go wrong sometimes because they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So that
I love
is
that you
the
say
perfection.
That
yeah. is the perfection.
That message, that truth needs to be out there more, heard more.
Yeah.
We've got another caller here, number 6, and I believe it's a Skype call or personal because it's 11111. So I don't know if it's Skype or Internet, but you're on Awakenings. Hello? I don't know how to identify, but the hand is up. Is anybody calling via Skype or computer or could be a private number? Number 6. Okay, maybe they're just listening. We'll come back to you. And let's see, here we go. Hi, 310-480, you're on Awakenings.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, so nice to be on. This is Lynn.
Oh, hi, Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
You're on with Pamela.
Pamela, I've just really enjoyed all the wonderful things you've been sharing, and you and Michelle worked so well together. I hope you
yeah,
might
we
even
do.
Consider doing this again.
Yeah,
it's very much fun.
Such a treat.
Yeah, but it is.
One question that I had for both of you is, I related to the caller. I've been playing a lot and learning more about myself and unfolding and trying to see what is next. And my room is very messy right now. I've been exploring a lot of things, but I also have some financial amends to make and kids going off to college, and I've been studying and exploring a lot, but also feeling the responsibility of seeing if I were to do some work, how might it look that I can take all that I'm doing and my unfoldment forward and earn some income as well. And if there are any things that you see that might be blocking me in this.
Okay. The first thing I get, it's Lynn, right? The first thing I get, Lynn, is God, you just, I see, it's like you defragmented. It's like you're scattered all over the place. You're just scattered. And it's almost like a desperately seeking truth, almost trying to force it. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're kind of scattered all over the place, so it might be a little hard to get clarity about what you want and what you need to do, because your energy is... Do you ever have those old PC computers where you had to defragment them, and, you know, they're little boxes, and these boxes all just kind of work together, and then they dissolve, and it feels like you need to defragment and not try so hard. The first suggestion I would have is, are you meditating?
Yes, actually.
Okay, and are you meditating to get answers to things?
No, not as much, and I also feel like I ask a lot of different questions to a lot
that's
of different
the scattered.
People.
Yes, that's the scattered. So what Spirit is suggesting for me to tell you is you need to sit and think nothing. Don't try to get answers. Don't try to figure anything out. Just sit in silence, you know, stare at a candle, play some good music. Just think, I am thinking nothing right now. I don't need an answer to anything. I'm just going to sit, and because your aura is all, like, choppy. And you need to kind of close it off. And you need to have a ritual of cleansing, and just silence, silence, silence. Right now, honestly, is not a good time for you to figure out anything. It's like you got to regroup the troops, to me.
Okay.
Michelle, I don't know what you're thinking, but...
But when you said the candle, I'm hearing anything that's a focusing meditation, even, you know, in front, right? Anything, even in an open-eye meditation in front of a tree.
Yes.
I feel that you're in this research mode and study mode, and you're doing what a lot of other people need to do that have called in. You're diving in, you're swimming in so many different things. It's going to start pairing out. You'll be guided in a certain direction. I'm hearing, though, it's not going to necessarily be the direction that you think it is and what you've been perhaps focusing on.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something, right? I think that there's, it's like, you know, if you've ever gone hiking or camping and there's a wonderful pond and a wonderful spring day and there's a lot of leaves in the pond, but you want to swim anyway and you dive in, and for a while you're swimming and there's leaves around, and then at some point you swim enough that you have a clear stream. But I agree, the clear stream is not, here's your guy, they're laughing right now. They are laughing. The clear stream is not there because you would control it. They want you, so Pamela is so right on. The meditation, you need to live in the state of expectancy, but unexpected expectancy. You need to live in that meditative state that you're not expecting to know so that it can be revealed to you through you. Otherwise,
that is so
you would
funny.
Be controlling
they're laughing
it.
So hard.
They're laughing
so hard. and you know, I also think that they're trying to say, have a sense of humor about this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like they are laughing and they are like, they are really open and ready to help you. The problem is you are so scattered and so all over the place that they can't.
Yeah.
And so just get clarity. Just like, I'm not going to get anything. I'm just going to enjoy the peace and the quiet and, you know, just sit here and really feel it and like, oh, this is fun. This is great. And silence the mind. Silence the mind. And then you will, I guarantee, have an aha moment. But when you're not thinking about it, like for you to sit down and think, what should I do? What should I do? Is the worst thing you could do. Stop thinking about that.
You're a good controller, manager, and they do, and you're not going to be able to control. And that's why they're lovingly laughing, because they're saying you already have the answer. It's just the ego personality doesn't know. I'm also hearing it's not going to be for a while. So your summer, you're going to think, oh, my God, I studied this. I went to school for this. I did this. And what am I doing with it? I'm hearing you're not going to know, or the scattered energy, or the what's coming upstream to be given to you is not going to be until after the summer.
And
perhaps
late
what
August.
Pamela Yeah, exactly. In fact, what Pamela was saying about that play and lightening up and laughing, you'll probably take time off, and it may seem like you're doing mom stuff or family stuff or girlfriend stuff, stuff that you haven't been able to do for a while. It might seem like, I'm not on purpose. I'm not going to find it because now I'm going in this other direction. But mm-hmm. for some reason, you're meant to, as Pamela's saying, laugh and lighten up and play. It'll be back to school. You'll start kind of feeling it out again, getting the new direction. But I really feel like, yeah, it's not till
the end of summer.
Yeah, end of summer, yeah. even fall, winter. I mean, it's going to be more mm-hmm. of a honing of the energy, more and more and more. But it really starts at end of the summer.
Well, thank you, because actually I've had that same sense that things would really not come together until the fall. And I've wanted to take the summer and enjoy the kids and play. So
yep.
thank you for helping me give myself permission to do exactly
that.
What
did they say? You already know the answer.
Yep, they said you already did. Yeah, that's funny.
So beautiful. So thank you so much. This has been such a treat. So blessings to you both.
To you as well.
Blessings to you. Blessings. So we have a couple more callers, and then we're winding out, and we'll just keep it a little brief. Hi, 510-355, you're on Awakenings. To whom am I speaking with?
This is Amber, Michelle.
Hey, Amber. Well, you're
Hi.
On live with Pamela Beattie, and if you could speak up just a little bit so
okay.
Pamela can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to call and thank you so much for sharing this, your story and everything that you've been talking about. And I typed a question in the chat room just, Michelle, you responded by saying your recent meditation was about energy moving in the body. And I know last time I talked with you, there's a lot of energy moving in my body. And I've been doing a lot of healing work and just starting to accept the fact that I know how to meditate. And not, you know, doubting myself and having the patience to do it. So I just wanted to know if you had any messages about what this energy is in my body that is moving and how I could best approach its movement or assist it.
Okay, Pamela.
They're pointing at you. Spirit is
okay.
pointing at you for you to answer this. For some
okay.
reason, your
okay.
soul's very connected to her, and you'll get it immediately.
Out of the head and into the body, and dancing and move. Did you dance before, Amber? Have you worked with movement? I'm hearing movement of like a poetry. I'm hearing voice, but I'm also feeling body movement.
I did. When I
yeah.
lived in New Orleans, I was just thinking about that. I used to dance
you need to go back.
In my house.
Yeah, they want you to go back to that.
Huh.
And it may be even in a way of transformation and working with others in this way. I feel you. They're telling you dance is the way for you right now. Go back to that movement.
Okay.
For yourself in your house. But I feel that there is going to be an extension of that in the work that you do with others.
Hmm. Well, I just got offered to sort of join a troupe or start dancing with a Haitian dance group.
There you go,
lady. What you saying? Right there. The pain in the body is it wants to move.
Out of the head
and
into the body.
I'm going to pain you until you poop.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's what's going on. It's almost as if I'm in pain, and it kind of escalated yeah. over the Passover holiday, the death and resurrection. I had this whole base spine fire thing happen in my body. And I haven't even been able to really sing or write or do anything
okay.
with my head.
Yeah. They want you in your head right now. They want you in the body. They want what you think in your head to flow through your body. And you'll do the you'll do the troop and you'll do words also. Now, you know, it's interesting in the Kabbalistic tradition, pain, and I'm not recalling the word right now, but it's also a prod. It's to prod us in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like shoes. When your shoes don't fit you anymore or they're so worn that they hurt, what do? You get new shoes.
New shoes.
So you're being shoes. So you're being nudged in a new direction.
Okay.
And that has to do with the the dance. I love God. in all its forms.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. That has been very helpful.
You know, it's so funny. Oh, it's so funny, Michelle, that how spirit works. I love it when you can step back out of the way and just watch it. And so for me, just to watch you do that was really kind of a thing of beauty. It's just kind of, you know, I just love it. It's just like, oh my God, that's just glorious. You know, to be able to tap into that like you just did. It's beautiful. Sorry.
Well, you knew it was coming. I didn't know it was coming through me.
Yeah.
I was waiting. I was like,
really?
You're like, Michelle.
No.
I'm like, oh, okay.
No, that was all you, baby.
tag team.
Yep. Exactly. I love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, well, it did. You must have orchestrated that well, my dear.
Yeah, that was all you.
692, you are live on Awakenings with Pamela Beattie. And Michelle Mache. Hi, 917-692. Whom am I speaking with?
Marley.
Hi, Molly?
Marley, yeah, hi.
Hi, Marley. Yeah, if you speak up just little bit, because you're coming through a few technology things here, equipment. So did you have a question or a comment for Pamela?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited. Like, my heart is pounding. I can't believe it.
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
Oh, I have a question for Spirit. I feel like I'm the last person in high school to get her period. I'm not. I'm actually going to turn 40 this year, but I just keep waiting and waiting for things to begin, and I'm getting a little tired. And I just wanted to know.
You wanted to know what?
I wanted to know two things. One is, when are things going to actually begin? And and the other thing is, like, why is it that I have had to wait so long?
Okay, first off, they've already begun. You just have a misinterpretation of what those things are. Because I see you standing there and looking in the mirror a lot. Do you analyze yourself a lot? Do you look into you a great deal?
Yes.
Okay. So what Spirit is telling me is that you need to stop looking in the mirror. You need to stop trying to figure things out, and you just need to let them flow. Because I feel like they are going to, I mean, you know, it's like the floodgate is opening. And also, they're telling me, have you really decided what you want?
Yes.
Have you? And what is that?
I want
to
write.
Say it out loud.
I want to write for movies.
Okay, and are you writing movies?
Well, I have a screenplay that I've written, but I'm working as a secretary, and it's just killing me.
Okay. Well, for some reason, you're going to need to be there for a little bit, because I'm just feeling like it's, do you feel really good about the script?
I do. I think it's really good.
Okay. Because there is some hesitation in your soul. And part of the hesitation is, that's weird. Why would you not believe in the process? Because your soul, your subconscious mind just said it didn't believe in the process. What does that mean to you?
I guess I just always think that it's going to happen for other people, but never for me.
Well, there you go. Because it's like, look, it's just because you're only 40, just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to. In the meantime, are you continuing to write?
Yes, I am.
Okay, because that seems to be the important part for your soul. It's like I see your soul just like really wanting to work, and but not really believing it's going to do any good. So you need to work on those thoughts. You know, your consciousness just doesn't believe it's going to do you any good, and it's little thoughts sometimes. It's not this huge like, oh, it's not going to happen. You know, it's not a huge defeatist attitude or anything, but there are little thoughts in the conscious mind that says, well, it's not going to happen anyway. And just because it hasn't doesn't mean it isn't going to. And also, they're telling me to tell you, have you surrounded yourself with other writers? Do you know other writers that you can hang out with?
Yeah, but I think I have to hang out more with them.
Yes, you do.
Hello?
Yeah, yes, you do.
Pamela?
Yes.
Whoops, we just lost Pamela, did we?
Nope. Oh, you can't hear me?
Pamela, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can hear you guys.
Yeah, I can hear you guys too. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh, gosh. That was great. We lost sound for just a minute, and then I heard other people. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, I could hear the caller, but I couldn't hear you.
Okay. Yeah, that happened just, and now I heard you. I felt like I was, it was really other dimensional. I felt like I was in this little.
It was very strange.
It was very strange.
I kept going, where'd she go?
I could hear you, but I know that I wasn't patched in.
They took you to a galaxy far, far away, I guess.
Oh, gosh. Pamela, this has been delightful. Just amazing to connect with you.
Oh, you too. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah. And you also have a book out I wanted to tell people about through Lulu, right? Five Lies Single Girls Tell Themselves?
Yes. It's a book that I wrote with my daughter. It's a short. You can read it in about an hour. And it's based on the years of experience I had with women, with single women, and the lies that they told themselves. And I asked my daughter to write it with me because she is a young single woman. So it's a very spiritual book, but it is very much a kind of in-your-face, it's easy to read, but it's very difficult to read because it's an honest look at the lies that women tell themselves about their men. And it's not easy to read. You know, I've had friends say, ouch, but it is the truth. Yeah, it's the truth. And I just finished, and hopefully we'll be should be publishing within the next month a book, and what that book is based on is the reality of the world versus the illusion of the world, and why our lives are messed up, and what it really means, and what the source of everything is. So that should be, you know, up on my webpage, I hope within the next month, but I never know how that's going to go. I'm getting the cover designed, and you never know how that it's going to take. But it kind of explains, you know, the gist of our conversations today with everybody is, you know, why your life is screwed up. That's basically what the book is about.
Well, I like because you're very, you know, awake, aware, but also to the point, because you're that little prod for people to get to that next level, you know. It's like, well, do you really want to know?
Thank you.
Yeah,
do you really
want to
know?
Yeah. Especially right now. It's not about sitting back right now. It's a participatory game we're in.
Yes,
so.
Absolutely.
Well, Pamela, thanks again. And those of you that have been listening, we have been sharing with Pamela Beatty. You can reach her at PamelaBeatty.net, and that's PamelaBeatty.net. And you can find out more information about her services, the way that she assists people, as well as there is a link to her book there. Also, just a lot of wonderful things you've got going on there, Pamela, so that it's a great way for people to connect in with you and find out what other projects that you have to assist them. So thank you so much for being here.
Michelle, thank you so much. I mean, what a joy you are. I mean, this has just been such a wonderful experience, and I really appreciate you having me on. It's truly been a blessing to me, so I feel very lucky to have experienced you today.
Ditto, ditto, ditto. And I love to have you back. We'll definitely do it again.
Absolutely. Anytime. It would be my pleasure.
All right. And thank you, listeners, for joining in. You have been listening to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. And Awakenings is what it is because of each and every one of you, the combined energy, intention, awareness, and love that you all are. Is part of this flow, is assisting in co-creating this flow. So I wish you much peace, love, and light. And just enjoy your day. Go out and shine your light. And as always, keep awake. By Beth Green. Remember, you are here, love, light, and wisdom. Go out and shine your light and